2. They were watching the Saturday afternoon movie when Mr. Ferguson came to take her to Mrs. Deardorff's office. It was a movie about table manners called How to Act at Dinner Time, so she didn't mind leaving. But she was frightened. Had they found out that she never went to chapel? That she saved pills? Her legs trembled, and her knees felt funny as Mr. Ferguson, wearing his white pants and white t-shirt, walked her down the long hallway, down the green linoleum with black cracks in it. Her thick brown shoes squeaked on the linoleum, and she squinted her eyes under the bright fluorescent lights. The day before had been her birthday. No one had taken any notice of it. Mr. Ferguson, as usual, had nothing to say. He walked smartly down the hall ahead of her. At the door with the frosted glass panel and the words, Helen Deardorff, Superintendent, he stopped. Beth pushed open the door and went inside. A secretary in a white blouse told her to go on to the back office. Mrs. Deardorff was expecting her. She pushed open the big wooden door and walked in. In the red armchair sat Mr. Gans, wearing a brown suit. Mrs. Deardorff was sitting behind a desk. She peered at Beth over tortoiseshell glasses. Mr. Gans smiled self-consciously and rose halfway from the chair when she came in. Then he sat down again, awkwardly. "Elizabeth?" Mrs. Deardorff said. She had closed the door behind her and now stood a few feet away from it. She looked at Mrs. Deardorff. "Elizabeth, Mr. Gans tells me that you are a..." She adjusted the glasses on her nose. "A gifted child." Mrs. Deardorff looked at her for a moment, as though she were expected to deny it. When Beth said nothing, she went on. "He has an unusual request to make of us. He would like you to be taken to the high school on..." She looked over at Mr. Gans again. "On Thursday," Mr. Gans said. "On Thursday, in the afternoon. He maintains that you are a phenomenal chess player. He would like you to perform for the chess club." Beth said nothing. She was still frightened. Mr. Gans cleared his throat. "We have a dozen members, and I'd like you to play them." "Well," Mrs. Deardorff said. "Would you like to do that? It can be arranged as a field trip." She smiled grimly at Mr. Gans. "We like to give our girls a chance for experience outside." That was the first time Beth had heard of it. She knew of no one who ever went anywhere. "Yes," Beth said. "I'd like to."
"Good," Mrs. Deardorff said. "It's settled then. Mr. Gans and one of the girls from the high school will pick you up after lunch on Thursday."
Mr. Gans got up to go, and Beth started to follow, but Mrs. Deardorff called her back.
"Elizabeth?" she said when they were alone.
"Mr. Gans informs me that you have been playing chess with our custodian." Beth was uncertain what to say.
"With Mr. Scheibel?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"That is very irregular, Elizabeth. Have you gone to the basement?"
For a moment, she considered lying, but it would be too easy for Mrs. Deardorff to find out.
"Yes, ma'am,"
she said again. Beth expected anger, but Mrs. Deardorff's voice was surprisingly relaxed.
"We can't have that, Elizabeth," she said.
"As much as Methuen believes in excellence, we can't have you playing chess in the basement."
Beth felt her stomach tighten. "I believe there are chess sets in the game closet," Mrs. Deardorff continued. "I'll have Ferguson look into it."
A phone began ringing in the outer office, and a little light on the phone began flashing.
"That will be all, Elizabeth. Mind your manners at the high school, and be sure your nails are clean."
In Major Hoople, in the Funnies, Major Hoople belonged to the Owls Club. It was a place where men sat in big old chairs and drank beer and talked about President Eisenhower, and how much money their wives spent on hats.